It's the Red Line Series, North versus South, and we're live from Cork and Kerry at the park on 720 WGN.
Live in action, we are here.
Should be a good series, Wendy. You got Chicago v. Chicago, two of my favorite cities squaring off.
There's only one team that can win. I'm sorry. I've been a Sox fan my whole life.
All right, let's see what happens.
And I don't like Royal Blue.
Oh, all right.
Or Cubby Blue.
Cubby Blue. That's the official color. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. We are just down the road a piece from Guaranteed Rate Field for game one of the three-game set between the Cubs and the White Sox. Jason Benetti joins us on the line. Jason, before we do anything else, I just have to say, because I've never had the pleasure of talking to you before, both Wendy and myself are huge, huge fans of your work, sir.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you very much, and I'm glad the bribe worked.
Jason, I'll up that one. I love you. You just do a great job.
Jason, I'm going to top that. You're the greatest human being that's ever walked the planet Earth.
I don't know how this interview is going to go, but I think we should stop it right there.
All right.
Jason Benetti is with us, Chicago White Sox play-by-play announcer on your television set with Steve Stone. Can we start with how you started with the White Sox? Because it's an interesting story.
Yeah, I kind of in 2015 at the end of the year, I had heard from a couple people that there was a chance Hawk Harrelson was going to scale back, and Len Casper actually. It's funny that Len Casper was the guy that was kind of the impetus, the Cubs TV voice, but he said, "Hey, you know, you should call the Sox and let them know you're interested." And I said, "Well, that's great, but I have a pulse and I'm a play-by-play announcer, so of course I'm interested. And by the way, I grew up going to the stadium." So I called the Sox, and Brooks Boyer called me back a couple hours later, and it started the wheels in motion for an interview process that lasted a couple months. And they evidently ran out of choices because they picked me. But no, it was just awesome. Like the first game I did at the stadium, it was like I cannot believe this is my office, because I grew up going here. Like, it was crazy to me, because the first thing I noticed was, like, the stadium smells the same. The ballpark, like, Comiskey Park is Comiskey Park forever.
Smells like funnel cakes.
Yeah, it's like the combination of sausage and grilled onions.
Grilled onions.
But I'm serious, and people thought I was crazy, but that was the first thing that hit me, was, like, this place smells the same as it always did food-wise, and that's how you kind of know you're home.
Well, you know what, Jason, from a fan standpoint, sometimes it takes us a while to get used to whoever's calling the games. With you, as soon as you were in there, the first time I heard you, I said, oh, they got the right guy. This guy knows what he's talking about.
Well, that's very nice of you. Steve Stone deserves a heck of a lot of credit for that, too, because it's very easy for somebody to, when they have a new partner, to kind of possibly be territorial or anything like that. And he wasn't that guy. He immediately embraced me and made this a team effort. And for that, I'll always be grateful.
You got to stop singing in the booth, Jason.
No, that ain't happening.
I'm totally kidding. You guys are so playful together. You're so funny together, you and Steve Stone. And most recently, I loved your little post-game interview with Yolmer Sanchez. Of course, Yolmer is famous for running out on the field, and players usually dump Gatorade on other players. He just turns the big container over on himself.
Eliminate the middleman, Wendy.
He kills me. And you guys were talking to him, and you asked him, all right, who's the next dump going to be on? Who's going to do it? And he threatened you guys. He's going to come up to the booth and do it to you guys.
Yeah, he said he was going to run up to the booth and dump it on us. But the thing about that is, we'll probably be off the air by then. We don't do a show. So he's going to run into the booth and hit, like, one of our camera guys or something. The joke's going to be on that guy.
Jason, are the stakes a little bit higher because it's the White Sox versus the Cubs? Is that one of the biggest deals of the season for you as an announcer?
I think when I talk to fans, it's a huge deal. So, yes. I mean, in our fans' hearts, it's a bigger deal. And frankly, there is. I saw somebody, one of the Sox writers, kind of blogger writer, but he also writes for a national publication too. Had a tweet yesterday that was like, if the Sox kept the Cubs out of the playoffs with a sweep, would that be a positive, or would that make the season a great season, or something like that? And the answers were like yes or no, but it would feel awesome or something like that. Like, for a Sox fan to have a part in keeping the Cubs out of the playoffs, I think it's even bigger. Yes, it would be nice if both teams were playing for the postseason, but
sure,
there's something about getting in the way here that I'm jazzed about, and I know Sox fans are too.
Can you help me out with this? I take a lot of heat because my whole life I've been a fan of both teams, and people in Chicago go,
yeah, you can't. Yeah,
you got to pick one or the other, but I really do truly love both teams. That's possible, right?
I think if you love the city, like if you love Chicago for what it is, a great sports town, a great food town, a great people town, you have to understand that there are people in the city who are going to like both. It's okay if you're a huge fan of one team to resent the people who like both.
Sure.
I'm not going to say it's okay or not okay, but I do totally get the people who resent the I like both, because they've devoted their lives to one of these teams. It's a definition of who you are in that camp. So
yep,
there are people who say, like, are you Sox? Are you Cubs? And if you don't want to define yourself one of those ways, they hate some of your character traits. They just do. and I'm okay with that, because it's a way of life. And
yep,
if sports becomes a way of life, we're having a good old time.
Agreed.
Well, I have, black and white and silver blood running through my veins. I've always been a Sox fan.
Doctors are baffled by it, Jason.
I actually consult my physician on that.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
It seems like mercury poisoning, but I'm not near WebMD right now.
It is mercury poisoning. Jason,
mercury.
That's awesome. That's the way to do it. I mean, I came from something of, at first, a split home in terms of Sox and Cubs, but we have converted my father, my mom, and I, and he's never going back.
Awesome. Great job.
Do us a favor. Ken Hawk Harrelson is calling it a day. He's called baseball games for decades, and he's decided to retire. Give us a word or two about Hawk Harrelson, if you wouldn't mind.
He is such a wonderfully hearted man down inside. Watching him talk to his wife and his kids and his grandkids, he is a warm-hearted guy. And frankly, you know, the one thing that I hate seeing is when people say, oh, I either like Jason or I like Hawk. Because that's not what I want, that's not what he wants, that's not what anybody wants. Especially because, you know, Hawk at first basically told me, be you. And when he said that to me, it was like, okay, we're off and running here. And frankly, there's a piece of Hawk inside of me. I grew up with him and Wimpy. That was my childhood, mm-hmm, of baseball and of wanting to become an announcer. Like, the first announcer I imitated was Hawk Harrelson.
Yeah.
He was the guy who made me love the Sox even more. And he does it in his way. I do it in my way. But I love the guy for everything he's done for me, whether he did it intentionally in talking to me after I got the job, or unintentionally just by me inviting him into my home for so many years as a Sox fan.
Yeah, sure.
It's been nice to hear Tom Pachorik back in the booth, too. It's really been cute.
Oh, God, love that man. He could make a chair laugh. Like, it's amazing. Inanimate objects cackle when he walks in the room. He has such a sense of humor. And the best thing about him is that when he does a promo in a voice, like he'll do Vin Scully or John Wayne, or
yeah,
they all sound the same. And he loves that. He is such a treasure of a human being. I can't say enough about what a warm-hearted human being he is.
Oh, that's
it's
beautiful.
So nice to have him back.
And it went long last night, but with positive results. That's a good game last
night.
I
went to sleep. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I was up watching it. I have football obligations today, so I was in Orlando yesterday. But I was up filling out my scorebook with every pitch and watching Steve and Wimpy, and they were awesome.
You do such a great job, and I love that little segment. Forgive me for not knowing what it's called, like a word with or something like that. You and Ricky Renteria, classic chemistry.
Oh, he's One Thing with Ricky.
One thing with Ricky, that's it.
I love it.
He's been fun with that. Like, I'll ask him some off-the-wall question, and he always has a really good answer, and he doesn't punch me in the face.
Which is good.
Yeah, it's a good bit we got going. I stay safe, he gives a good answer. We're great.
Jason, from a timeline standpoint, the White Sox weren't expected to take the division this year, and they didn't. But when realistically do you think we'll be looking at a White Sox division champion in the next couple of years? When do you think?
You know, I think part of it has to do with the division all kind of going through what the Sox are going through right now. The Royals are rebuilding. The Twins are in progress of a rebuild. The Tigers have spun their wheels a little bit at first, but they're going through it as well. And if you look at that Cleveland lineup from last night, you got a bunch of guys who are past the 30-year-old line. So yeah. I think it's really interesting that Cleveland's going to have to reload. They have the middle infielders in Lindor and Ramirez that are very strong young players, possible MVP candidates. But you end up in a scenario where I think the Sox might challenge a little earlier than expected. And, you know, people are going to hear that and say, well, that means 2019 or 2020. I know that the division is all going through the same thing. There are kind of the same scars right now on all of the teams other than Cleveland. So I think the Sox might, by virtue of that, be a little bit faster, although the injuries this year certainly didn't help.
Poor Michael Kopech. I feel so bad that he is not starting today in
this Red Line series.
Just think of how electric that would have been. And the thing that stings me about Kopech, and I think Sox fans too, is just watching him in the clubhouse. He's the type of guy who basically says to other players with his actions, we're not going to lose tonight. And I don't think the Sox have 15 of those guys. I don't think many teams do. And I was excited to see how kind of the rising tide lifts all boats thing was going to go with him, because that young man is as driven and as serious about winning as anybody I've been around. And that's in a very short time. But knowing his backstory, I was thrilled to see him electrify the clubhouse.
Excellent.
Can't wait for next season, I'll just say it. But this season, I have a couple of hopes. One is the White Sox do not lose 100 games, and they're getting kind of close. And I also want them to beat the Cubs. I'll sweep them. Sweep the Cubs. That's what I say.
Let's try to make that happen.
All right.
Also,
pleasure to meet you.
Go check out with your physician.
Immediately.
I'll do that.
Sooner more than later. Jason, so much fun to talk to you. It's obvious you love what you're doing, and you make the game a lot of fun to listen to. Keep up the great work over there, would you?
Thank you so much for the kind words, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Jason Benetti, everybody, Chicago White Sox play-by-play announcer, TV division.
Good.
Yeah.